We begin the new Masech, the Masech in the Dorm. We begin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the new Perek, the first Perek, Perek called Kinuya. Now the Ram gives a preface to this Masech, and he says that a neder, which is literally translated as a vow, could be made in one of two different ways. Either there could be what's known in the Torah as a neder for Hekdesh, which there's two types of giving a carbon to the Beis Amigdash, either as a neder or as a nedavo, or it could be a neder for the Beit HaGabayis, for the upkeep of the temple of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, regarding such a neder, a person actually could only be neder, could only donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, something that's his, and it's a universal neder. It applies to every single person because it's something that now no one else could have hanah from, pleasure from. It's only for the Beis HaMikdash. But there's another type of a neder, which are called nidrei iser, which is a neder of a prohibition where somebody makes something else that's generally permitted, now forbidden on himself. Now, regarding such a context, a person could make forbidden even if it's somebody else's thing, and even if it doesn't pertain to everybody. But he wants to say, that person's object is forbidden for me. So the Ram tells us that our Masechta is defining when the Torah Masechta is Nedarim, is specifically what's called Nidri Iser, is a vow of something of a prohibition. Now, although, as we're going to shortly explain, that there is a term of Charamim, which are generally used in the context of chayrim lebedek abayis, when someone says that this object is chayrim, it's giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, but that term also applies similarly to nidrei iser, to apply it and say that it's like hekdesh, but meaning that it's forbidden to me. And therefore, regarding that type of a context is what the Mishnah will shortly say one of the cases is kecharamim. Because if it meant like the general translation of chayrim, which is for the bedek abayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, and that, as the Ram explains, doesn't apply over here. In our Masechta, those types of Nedarim and Charamim would apply in Seder Kachim. Now, the Ram explains that there's actually three different ways of creating a Neder. There's the primary Neder. There's a Kinui, which is some type of like a different name for it, like a nickname. And then there's Yadis, which is an abridged version of saying the sentence of the Neder, like a handle. So the Ram explains. Says, the primary Neder is when somebody says, Davar zeh, this object, asur alai, is forbidden to me. Now the Ram makes a division regarding a concept known as hatfasa. So a neder is whether you do hatfasa, which means to say that you're not really making the neder. You're not saying this is forbidden. You're saying that it should be for me like something else. You're being matvesed. You're grabbing something else. You're hinging it on something else, which that thing is also forbidden. So whether you do it through hatfasa or you do not, either way, that's the generic neder which is written in the Torah of making something forbidden for you. Now, however, but the Ram does say, where you utilize the method of hatfasa, which means to say you're saying that this should be like that other thing, and that other thing that you're saying this thing should be like should be something that it itself was forbidden because of a neder, and not because it is intrinsically prohibited. Now, and the reason being is because although you could create a neder even if you don't do hatfasa, which if you just say I want it to be forbidden to me, but if you do hatfasa, then you have to say that this object should be like that other thing, which it itself is forbidden because of a neder, not because it is a prohibited thing. Now, therefore, and that comes into our Mishnah's topic, if someone does hatfasa, meaning to say, if let's say he says that this loaf of bread should be to me like a carbon, didn't say it should be forbidden, just said it should be like a carbon. Now, a carbon is something which it itself is a neder, thus it becomes prohibited to a person, so then the person's neder would be chal, it would be a full-fledged neder, and that is still included in the category of a primary neder, because a primary neder is when you say, this thing should be forbidden to me, whether you don't do without fasa the way we just described it, or if you do it without fasa, which means to say, let this bread to be to me like a carbon, which is hatfasa. Now the Mishnah begins, kol kinuye nedarim, every kinuy of a neder. Now kinuy is, instead of saying, let this loaf of bread, let's say, be to me like a carbon, which is the primary neder, you use like a nickname. You say word that mean like carbon, but you don't say the word carbon. You say kainim, kainich, kaines. These are different variants of the word of carbon. Then whoever says that, then this object that you're saying, let this bread be to me like a kainim or like a kainich or like a kainis, is going to be kinadarm. It's like he said, let this loaf of bread be to me like a carbon. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, kol kinuy nedarim is kinedarim. Now, the Ram explains, what are these kinuyim? So it's actually machlokes in the Gemara later on, Daf Yudam and Aleph, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that these other words are actually other languages, and they mean the same thing as carbon in the Hebrew language. So when you say that, let this loaf of bread be to me like a sacrifice, or something that means carbon in a different language, it's like saying, it's like basically doing a regular neder throughout Fasa, but through a kinoy. Rish Lakish says actually that no, they're not other languages. These are words that the sages made up so that a person should utilize these words instead of using the word carbon, as Gemara will explain the reason for this. Now, so the Ran explains, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says that these are other languages. Most definitely, if someone uses them to make a neder, it's like making a neder in a primary carbon. The reason being is because nedarim, oaths, a vow, can be, that we're just going to use loosely the words oath and vow for shvua and neder, which that doesn't do justice to the word itself. But the point is that the neder is made in every single language. It doesn't make a difference what language it is. So therefore, if you use another language, of course, it's like a regular neder, even though you're using a kinui. Now, however, the Ran says, even according to Rish Lakish, that he says that it's a word made up by the sages, so that also will be like a full-fledged biblical neder. And the reason being is because every language, essentially, besides Lashon HaKodesh, is just the consensus of every single nationality and every people to say that this word should mean this, but it's not intrinsic to the object itself. And therefore, when the sages agree from their own understanding that this word should mean that too, so of course that's going to be like a regular biblical neder, just like every language will be considered as if you're saying that word itself. Now, for that reason, they call this kinuyi nedar. The reason being is because that's from the concept of a neder. It's just using it with a kinuy, as like when it's, as the Gemara Bava Metzia says, "Ibe machan Hashem lechaveri." You give your friend a nickname. You're calling him, but you're using a different word to call him. That's what the Mishnah means when it says kinuyi nedar. Now, there's another halacha which we mentioned before, which are called yadois, which are handles of nedar, which is that you start saying a neder type of a sentence, you just don't conclude your sentence. Now, that little part of the sentence is as if you said the whole entire sentence. For example, like somebody that holds onto a cup with just holding the handle, you're holding the cup, but through the handle, and then you move the whole thing. So that's why the neder will be chal, and later on the Mishnah will explain what are some cases of the others where you don't say the whole neder, but you say part of it, but that's indicative that you want the neder, so it's going to be like you said the neder. Now the Mishnah, however, continues and says that the same halacha of that a kinui of a neder will be like the neder itself, which we said use other words that essentially are the same thing as a carbon, which is hatfasa of a neder, with kainim, kainich, and kainis, whether they're other languages or whether the sages made them up. The same halacha applies the charamim, that a kinui of charamim, in other words, if someone says, let these objects be on me, cherek, cherech, cheref, which are, again, other variants of the word cherem, which, again, as we explained from the Ram before, is another way of someone making a neder isser on himself. We don't mean the cherem of kachar betek abayis. Then kecharamim, it's like the person said, let these nechasim be on me, a cherem. And then, of course, they become forbidden to a person, which is another way of saying a neder. Now, more of a vishvois, that an oath, in other words, if someone gives a kinoy of a shvua, then it's kishvois. Again, we instead of saying the oath itself, use another word that means that, whether in other languages or whether that the sage just said, and then that's going to be kishvois, that's going to be full-fledged, like a shvua, as all kinuyim are like the thing itself. Now, moreover, v'nazirois, if someone says, instead of saying harini nazir, he says harini nazik, paziyach, again, different variants of the word itself, then kinazirois, the same thing Allah applies, it's as if he said harini nazir, and then the person is a nazir. Now, the Gemara explains that the next part of the Mishnah actually is explaining the halacha of yadois, not of kinuyi. As we explained, there's the primary neder, then there's another way of making neder through using a nickname, which is kinuyi, which the Mishnah opened up in saying that all kinuyi nidarm are like nidarm, charam kacharam, mishwiz kishwiz, and nazir kinazirs. Then there's another halacha which is chesur mechse, doesn't say over here, which are called yadois and nidarm, which we just explained. And then the Mishnah goes now explains cases of yadois. If someone tells his friend, Mudrani Mimcha, I am in the state of a neder from you, or Mufrishani Mimcha, I am separated from you, or Murchakni Mimcha, I am distant from you, Sha'ani Oichel Acha, that I should eat from you, or that Sha'ani Toim Lucha, that I will taste from you, which the Gemara there on Daf Dalam Abezo also explains that the last two words, the last two phrases that the Mishnah says are conclusions of the first sentences. In other words, someone says, "Mudrani mimcha, I'm in a state of neder, shani oichel locha, that I will eat from you." Or, "I'm mudrani mimcha, I'm in the state of neder, shani toim locha, that I will taste from you." And same thing is regarding all the other cases of mefreshani or merchakni. You end off in saying, "Shani toim locha, shani oichel locha." Now, the reason why these are considered yadois is because he didn't conclude his sentence in saying, "What do you mean? I'm distant from you, that from what I will eat from you, like a carbon." He didn't say to make the conclusion, the ending statement of saying, "What does that mean?" Or another interpretation from the Ran is that, because he didn't say explicitly that you're forbidden to the person. You said you're distant, or even if you said mudrani, but you didn't say exactly what it is that you're prohibiting. Therefore, you didn't really say a full-fledged neder, but it's a yad. It's indicative what you're trying to do. So therefore, us or the person becomes forbidden in that neder that he took. Now, the Mishnah concludes, Menuda nelcha, if he says a word of that, I'm in a state of nidui from you, which is some type of excommunication or distant or separate, Shubikiva ha'yechaychich bezeh, he was not sure about this, but lahachma, he was leaning towards being stringent in this halach. Now, we continue on the Medbeis, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that says, Kol kinuyi nidarm kinidarm. He said in the Mishnah that all different variants of the word to make a neder will be like a neder, and it says all different cases regarding Shvuah and Nazir and Cherem. So the Gemara wonders, Maish Nagabe Nazir, what's the difference? Why are we here? Why are in Mesechtes Nazir? The Loika Tanya Lulakulu doesn't say all the different categories of Halacha that their kinuyim are like the thing itself. It just says, a kinu of Naziris is like Naziris. In other words, if someone says, instead of saying Harini Nazir, he says, I'm a Nazik, I'm Paziach, so then you have halacha like a nazir. But it doesn't say, and the same thing applies to kinu nedarim and kinu haramim. But umayish nagabi nedarim. But why over here, mesachtin nedarim, diktani lukula, does it say all the other categories that the halacha of kinu applies to? So that the Gemara answers, mishum de neder u shvua ksivi gabi adar. The reason is because the halachas of shvua, of an oath, are said right next to the halacha of a neder, of a vow. Because it's in the same pasuk. It says, Ki yidr neder l'Hashem. Someone's going to take a neder. Oh, he shav a shvua. So since they're said near each other, so tani tartan. So we said both of them already, that the halacha of kinu applies to both of them. Now, v'kivi, the tani tartan, once we said both, so tani l'kulu, so we said also all the other categories that the halacha of kinu applies to. But the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so v'lisni kinu shvui is bas nedarim. But then if the whole reason why I mentioned all the other cases was because we already said both, because shvui says it's near nedarim, so though it's Masechet Nedarim, we included Shavuos in that and then everything else, so then let the next category after Nedarim be Shavuos, but it's not. It has others in between. So that the Gemara answers, I did the Tana Nedarim, since we said Neder, and we're going to say Shavuos, so we're going to include all the other ones, where Neder is unique in the Mitzvah Chavtzalah. How does the process of Neder work? Is that a person creates the Isser in the object. He says, that bread, he says, Achilas Kikar Zeh Olai. Meaning the prohibition takes effect in the object. This object is forbidden to me. So therefore, after that, he also said the halacha of a cherem, the mitzvah chavtzalah, where also the iser is created in the object itself. Lafuke shvua, but that is not the case by a shvua, by an oath, the ka'aser nafshim in chavtzim, where there, the fundamental principle of a shvua is that he makes himself forbidden to the object. The prohibition is in the person, in what's called the gavra, and not in the chafetz, in the object. For example, when someone says a shvua, what's the form of a shvua? He says, I take an oath, shelo oichel kikerzeh, that I will not eat that bread. It's in him and not in the object, and that's why we first put cherem with neder, and then shvua after that. But the Gemara asks, and we alluded to this in the Mishnah, pasach b'kinuyim. The Mishnah opens up with kinuyim, kol kinuyim nedarim. It says all the different types of kinui are like the neder itself. But then when the Mishnah comes to explain cases, it talks about some other halacha regarding the category of yadis, where the Mishnah says, I'm in a state of neder from you, and so on. So the question is, as the Ran explains, most definitely that the Tana opens up with the topic of kinui. Now, even if you're going to say, as the Gemara will shortly say, and that many times throughout Shas that the Gemara says that there's words missing from the Mishnah, so obviously the category of Yadis, which is not even mentioned to explain case of it, obviously that's missing in the Mishnah. But generally we don't say that the beginning of the Mishnah is missing words. We say somewhere in the middle there were words missing. Now, therefore, since obviously we open up with kinuyim, so even if you're going to say that the category of yodis is also mentioned in the Mishnah, it was just missing the words, but it should have explained first aloch of kinuyim, which that is the opening case in the Mishnah. The Basu, moreover, the Gemara asks, is yodi inshi? They forgot the halacha of yodis? In other words, it doesn't even mention it at all to have to explain it in the Mishnah. Now, regards to that, so that the Gemara answers the second question that I rebuhin. Of course, the Mishnah is Tomad Yodis too, but v'chasur mechzur, that word's missing. V'chiktani, this is what the Mishnah is supposed to say. Kol kinui nedarim kinedarim. All the different variation words of saying neder is like the neder itself. Now, v'yodis nedarim kinedarim, and also the handles, meaning when you say only part of the sentence, is like saying the entire neder itself. So that answers that what we forgot about it? No, we didn't forget about it. There's words missing for the Mishnah. But now the Gemara asks, so fine, you answered the second question, but the first question is still difficult. Since the opening halacha is kinui and not yodis, so let them first explain the first topic of kinui and not yodis. And as the Gemara asks, v'lifrish kinuin bereisha, first explain the halachas of kinuyin, which are only mentioned later, our mission doesn't even discuss it, it just discusses yodis, if the opening halacha is kinui. So on that the Gemara answers that it's normative practice that ahu desolik minei, that halacha that the Tana concluded this, mentioning the last, Zahu Mefarash Bereisha, actually that is the first one that they begin to explain. Kedinan, like we learned in Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara brings many rayas, where the last thing mentioned is the first thing explained. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos says, Bameh Madlikin or Bameh Madlikin. What type of candles, meaning wicks and fuel, can you use to light for Shabbos, and which ones can you not? And what does the Mishnah then say? Madlikin, it starts explaining those things which you cannot light, which is the last thing mentioned. So too, there Masechta Shabbos, it said b'med taimin u'b'med ein taimin. What types of things can you do hatzmana? Can you insulate things from before Shabbos, going into Shabbos, because of a concern that you might come to stoke the flames over Shabbos? So it says, ein taimin, it starts explaining first the things that you could not do hatzmana with them. Again, the last thing mentioned. So too, Masechta Shabbos, it says b'med eisha yetze u'b'med ein yetze. With what items is a woman allowed to go out into the street, which one's not? Because we're concerned that she might take it off and might come to carry in Shasarabim. And then this starts explaining, Lo Yisei Se'isha, talks about the things that a woman cannot go out with, which again is the last thing mentioned. Now, on this, the Gemara asked, so you're telling me, V'chalhecha the Pasach, wherever it opens up with this idea, meaning like in our case of Kinuyim, Lo Yimefarash Bereisha, doesn't explain the first. Now, the Gemara's assumption now is, and this is the Gemara's question, is when the Gemara answered, Hahu desolik minei havemefarash bereisha, that the last thing that it ended off with is what it explains first, that the Gemara means to say that it has to be like that. Now, the reason why the Gemara assumes this is because if it wasn't particular about what order, so let it always be uniform like that. And that's why the Gemara is going to ask that sometimes we find not like that, that the first thing mentioned is the first thing explained and not the last thing mentioned. Bavatnan, we'll learn the Mishnah Masechta Baba Bas that says, Yesh neichlin umanchilin. There are certain relationships that the Yerusha could go either way. That person could inherit and bequeath. For example, a father and sons. When the father dies, the son inherits. And if the son dies, the father inherits. And therefore, he could inherit and also bequeath and also give the inheritance to someone else. There are certain relationships where a neichlin beloy manchilin, where the person only inherits but doesn't inherit back to that person. For example, a person regarding his mother, where if the mother dies, he inherits, but if he dies, the mother does not inherit. And then, so on, and the Mishnah there explains, Ve'elo Noichel Machilin. It first goes back to the first case mentioned to explain it. So to Masechta Yevamos, we have where it says, Yesh Mutaris Lebaleyan Vasuris Leivman. There are certain women that are permitted to their husbands, but they're forbidden to their brother-in-law. In other words, if their husband dies without any children, then there is halach of Yibim to his brother. Certain women, for example, if a Kohen Hedit was married to a mono widow, she's permitted to her husband, but she's forbidden to her brother-in-law if the brother is a Kohen Gadol, where Amon is forbidden to a Kohen Gadol. But there are cases that Muteres Levimein, Vasuris Lebalein, where they're permitted to their Yavam, but forbidden to their husband. For example, if a Kohen Gadol is married to a widow, where that's prohibited, and he has a brother, a Kohen Hedyed, so she would be permitted to the Yavam and forbidden to her husband, and it goes on. And then the Mishnah there says, Ve'elu Muteres Lebalein, Vasuris Lebalein, it starts explaining that these are the women that are permitted to their husbands and forbidden to the Yavams, which is the first case mentioned. So too in Masechtas Menachos, it says, Yesh tu'unais shemenu levayna. There are certain menachos that require oil in the flower offering and frankincense, which that's mechasailis, machvas, machesh, different types of fried menachos. Then there are certain types of flour offerings that require shemen v'loy levain, only oil and not frankincense, which that's the milchas nesachim, which are the flour libations which are brought with the karbanas oila and shlamim, and so on. It mentions all the different types of categories. And then it says, ve'elu tu'une shemen levain, it starts explaining, and says these are the types of menachos that require oil and frankincense, which again is the first one mentioned, not the last one mentioned. So too, the Masechet Menachos, it says, yesh tu'une sagasha, says that there are certain karbanas that require to be brought near. For example, bringing the carbon mincha has to be brought to the southwest corner of the mizbech, as it says in the pasuk. Zoyis teresa mincha. This is the halacha of the carbon mincha. Hakev oisu ben Aaron lefnei Hashem has to be brought in front of Hashem, where the Gemara Masechta Seita Daf Yudalma Beis explains that's the southwest corner. But the ain tunis tnufa. However, there are certain ones that although they require to be brought near to the mizbech, they don't require that it being elevated, which is that the kohen places his hand underneath the hands of the owner who is bringing the carbon and lifts it up. For example, that's a mechas chayte, where it requires hagasha to being brought near, but it doesn't require being picked up. And then there are some which are tenufa v'lo hagasha, require this being elevated, but not being brought near to the mizbech. For example, the loig of oil of the mitzayra and this carbon asham and bikurim, which they have to be picked up, but not brought to the mizbech, and so on. It mentions all the cases. And it explains the ve'elu tu'unei sagasha, and these require being brought, meaning it goes to the first case mentioned. So to Masechtas Bechiras says, yesh b'chor l'nachla. There are certain firstborns that are considered a firstborn for the halachas of inheritance, in other words, that they take a double portion. But ve'en b'chor l'kain, however, he's not going to be considered a firstborn regards to have to redeeming him with the five slum from the kain, which the Gemara explains. That's a reference to a Bechor L'Nachla is someone that was born after a stillborn, where he's still the oldest son and therefore he gets a double portion. So too, if the man had other sons, but he didn't have any other sons. So regarding him, it's his firstborn, but the woman that gave birth to his children already gave birth once before, and therefore it's only the first one that comes out of the womb. Therefore, it's not going to be a Bechor for a Kohen to be considered Peter Rechem, meaning to be considered the firstborn. However, it is going to be firstborn regarding inheritance. And there are certain one sons that Bechor L'Kohen Ve'en Bechor L'Nachla that is a firstborn for the Kohen, but actually not a firstborn for inheritance. And that would be, for example, if let's say he has sons already before, and therefore it's not a firstborn regarding his inheritance, but this woman that he married didn't have children yet before, it's his second wife, therefore it is the first one to come forth from the womb and therefore requires a pidyon haben, but wouldn't be the firstborn for the nachla. And so on, it goes through the different types of cases. And then the Mishnah explains, ve'ezehu b'chor l'nachlo ve'ein b'chor l'kohen. And what's the type of firstborn for inheritance but not for the kohen, which again is the first case. So therefore the Gemara's question is, we have many cases that don't go from the last thing left off, and it goes back to the first one. So what's the understanding? So on that the Gemara answers, no, halin, those cases that you just brought me, that it doesn't go from the last one left off, which is what we're explaining for our Mishnah. Why, although the first one is kinu, we explain yodis, which is last first, those are different mishum de avshule, because since there's many different halachas mentioned in those mishnayas, therefore, if we would go backwards, which is how we're explaining in our Mishnah, and seemingly all other mishnayas, that we go with the last thing first, then people will come to make a mistake. So therefore, mefarash ahu de pasach bereishah, they're going to get confused because there's so many different cases. So therefore, there they go first in the chronological order how they're mentioned there in the Mishnah. But generally, if not for that reason that there's so many cases, then the order of the Mishnah is always the thing, as we're explaining in the Mishnah, from the last thing left off. And that's why we explain yodis first and not kinuim. But on that, the Gemara asks, but v'habu, we have a Mishnah Masechet Shabbos that says very simply, it says, with what is an animal allowed to go out with, which is not considered a master, you're carrying something, and with what an animal is not allowed to go out with, the loy avsha, where there's not that many cases, it first explains what an animal is allowed to go out with, what a camel could go out with, which is the first case, not the last case mentioned off. So the Gemara continues at the top of Gimel and Alf and says, Ela lav davka. You're right, obviously it's not particular. Zimnin mefarash shahu de pasal bereisha. Sometimes it says that case which was mentioned first. Zimnin hahu de solik mefarash bereisha. Sometimes it's the thing that they left off last with, which is what they say first. Now the Ran says that is why the order of the Tanoim are actually different, to tell us that there is no particular order and that every Tana can say it as he pleases. Now, what's the point of telling us that? It's because, as the Pasuk says in Iyuv, "Vativ chaloshna rumen," there is a requirement for Tamid HaChacham to use the best possible way of explaining something. And if there was a specific order, they should have to say it. And that we're saying that there is no specific order, therefore there's no question on our Mishnah. You're right. Although we opened up with Kinui and Yodis was missing and we're saying Yodis is last, we start explaining Yodis first because it's the last thing said. Although it doesn't have to be that way. It could be either way, as we prove from other Mishnahs. It could be the last thing said, or it could be the first thing said.